Ramsey TV.
Oh my God, Harold. Is he drinking rum again? What is he? A rum drinker or something?
Well, you might say that, lady. Yes, this is Martin Zender. I am drinking Zacapa rum. As I said, I treated myself for working so hard. I need to relax once in a while. And I'm doing that here. I'm thankful to be with you. The highlight of my day is to speak to you about the great glories of God. And the one thing I don't want you to do is to explain God's explanations. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, do not explain God's explanations. Today, I'm going to give you a really helpful hint about how to interpret the book of Revelation. Admittedly, one of the most difficult books in the scripture to understand. Yeah, I'll say that it is. However, I, Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, did a verse-by-verse exposition on the book of Revelation. I recorded 800 shows going through every single verse of this difficult book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. You will find that series at my website, martinzender.com. Go to martinzender.com, scroll down, and you'll see Zender on Revelations. Keep scrolling till you find it. Just keep scrolling. Go, go, go. Click on it. I began the series in Sao Paulo, Brazil, from the fabled bunker. I continued it in Winbur, Pennsylvania, and I finished it here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So definitely check that out. So there's a big, helpful tool of interpretation I'm going to give you that many people ignore, and they go off on terrible rabbit trails, even denying the literal revelations of the book of Revelation. And that is this. Pay close attention. This is important. Do not explain God's explanations. Yes, there are a lot of figures of speech. There's a lot of symbolism. There's visions. Everything else in the book of the unveiling, which is the actual title of the book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's the actual title of the book. We call it Revelation. Don't know why. Should be The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Because that's the whole purpose of it, to unveil Jesus Christ to the world. That's what we want. But in order for that to happen, the world has to be cleansed of its own ideas, its own philosophies, its own religion, and its own politics. As I've always said, you can quote me on this, there's nothing wrong with religion and politics. It's just the wrong religions and the wrong politics. That's the problem. We're going to bring in God's religion and God's politics. That's right. Christ on the throne, which is politics. Christ in the temple, which is religion. Praise God. So I'm going to go to a few choice passages in Revelation, and I'm going to show you the unveiling of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you what I mean by not explaining God's explanations. So the first place I want to go is Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to read to you through verse 16. And I turn about to look for the voice which spoke with me. This is John. He's been exiled to the island of Patmos, and from there, his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the man he used to walk with, talk with, eat fish with, probably sleep with, you know, in the common campground, revealed to him the future, took him to the future, found himself in the Lord's day. And this is what he says, chapter 1, verse 12. And I turn about to look for the voice which spoke with me. And turning about, I perceived seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like a son of mankind, dressed in a garment reaching to the feet and girded about at the breast with a golden girdle. Now his head and hair are white as white wool, as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like white bronze, as fired in a furnace, and his voice is as the sound of many waters. And he has in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth a sharp two-edged blade is issuing, and his countenance is as the sun appearing in its power. That's pretty good. I think I'm going to stop there. So John sees a lampstand. John sees seven stars. But what do these represent? What are they? Why are they seen by John? Well, we don't have to guess because, to our great fortune, Jesus Christ tells them exactly what these are. Verse 20, Romans chapter 1. The Lord says to him, let's go to verse 19. Write then what you perceived and what they are and what is about to be occurring and what is about to be occurring after these things. The secret of the seven stars which you perceived in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. Here's the secret. Ready? This is Christ. I'm quoting. The seven stars are messengers of the seven ecclesias, and the seven lampstands are seven ecclesias. These are God's explanations. That means they are literal. The lampstands are not literal, though they were seen by John. John saw lampstands floating in the sky. Lampstands. Never seen that before. Lampstands. Lampstands floating around. And he saw seven stars. And he looks quizzically at Christ, and Christ says, the secret of the seven stars, which you perceived in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, here's the secret. The seven stars are messengers of the seven ecclesias. Messengers. Either angelic beings or human beings acting as messengers. But here's the important part. Well, that's important, but this is important too. And the seven lampstands are seven ecclesias. That is seven called out groups of people. That's what they literally are. This is God's explanation of what John saw. God's explanations of any vision are literal. But there are so many people who try to explain God's explanations. Like they say, I wonder what these ecclesias are. I wonder if these seven ecclesias, maybe they represent seven epochs, seven periods of time through the so-called church age. They can't be really literal groups of people that God is calling out. Yes, they can be, and they are. And the details are given concerning them in chapter 2. Seven outcalled groups of people. Israelites given safe haven during the tribulation. This is God's explanation. God's explanations are always literal. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? The field, you remember that parable? Jesus said, the field is the world. Those who are calling the crops are messengers. And the tares are the believers, or the tares are the unbelievers, wheat is the unbelievers. He explains the whole thing, point for point for point. Christ's explanations of these things are the literal truth. You can't then take the explanation of the parable or of the vision and say and try to explain it. But people want to explain the explanations. And that's where you get into a rabbit hole. That's when you start to disbelieve the entire book of Revelation. Stephen Jones is famous at this. He's the best at it I've ever seen of trying to explain God's explanations. Well, these aren't really seven ecclesias. Well, these stars aren't really messengers of the ecclesias. No, no, no. And he goes on to explain God's explanations. How dare you? I'm afraid to say L. Ray Smith did the same thing. L. Ray Smith, a personal friend of mine. Many of you came to the truth through him. Loved the guy. I met him. He came to my house, slept in my guest room, spoke at my conference. Loved the guy. Since deceased, he lived in North Miami. But he didn't believe in the literal interpretation of the book of Revelation, a literal interpretation allowing for figures of speech. He tried to explain God's explanations. No, 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 you don't do that. That's the literal. When God explains something, that's what it is. There's no further explanation. I'm going to give you more examples of that in the unveiling of Jesus Christ chapter 17. Let's start with verse 3 and go to verse 6. And he carries me away in spirit into a wilderness. And I perceived a woman sitting on a scarlet wild beast, replete with names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet, and gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, brimming with abominations and the uncleanness of the prostitution of her and the earth. Verse 5, and on her forehead is written a name, Secret Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. And I perceive the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And I marvel at perceiving her. The marvel is great. This is what John sees. He actually sees this crazy beast, this prostitute sitting on the crazy beast that's scarlet in color. And he sees these seven heads and ten horns. Now let's go to verse 7. And the messenger said to me, wherefore do you marvel? I shall be declaring to you the secret of the woman and the wild beast which is bearing her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the equivalent of the disciples asking Christ after he gives the parable of the wheat and the tares, elucidate to us, if you don't mind, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And he does so. Well, the field is the world, the tares are this, the thing is the adversary, this is the them, this is that, but the, he makes it plain to them. And the disciples do not say the field is the world. Well, what's the world? No, the parable was a farmer in a field putting in crop, wheat and tares. They both look alike. The reapers come, those are the angels. The field is the world, Christ said. Nobody said, well, what does the world represent? No, that is the literal thing. That is Christ's explanation. Do not explain God's explanations. Now we go to verses 9 through 10. Here is the mind which has wisdom. This is the messenger speaking to John, the celestial being. The seven heads are seven mountains where the woman is sitting on them. Ah, but wait, you have to be careful because this is a subdivision, but where the explanation ends is the literal thing. This is an unusual circumstance. I'm not shying away from this, but watch this. The seven heads are seven mountains where the woman is sitting on them, and they, that is the seven mountains, are seven kings. Boom, period. The messenger does not go on to say, and the seven kings are seven bottles of Diet Coke. No. That's what they are, kings. But then you take people like Elroy Smith and Stephen Jones. Well, these kings are not literal kings. You see, they represent, and they go on and try to explain God's explanations. Bad. Bad form. Don't do that. They are seven kings. So we've gone from seven heads. These are seven mountains where the woman is sitting on them. That is, you saw the heads, you saw the mountains, and these mountains, I'm telling you, are seven kings, period. No explanation after that. That is the explanation. The kings are literal. The kings are literal. Five fall, one is, the other came not as yet, and whatever he may be coming, he must remain briefly. Literal kings on the earth. Let's go to verse 12. And the ten horns which you perceived are ten kings who obtained no kingdom as yet, but are obtaining authority as kings 1 hour with the wild beast. These are more kings. The ten horns, more kings. Don't try to tell us what the kings are. Well, what are the kings? What do they represent? They don't represent anything. They're kings. The representative things were the mountains and the heads. God, I love making sense for a living. Now we go to verse 18. And the woman, yeah, what's that woman? Who's that woman? What's that prostitute? Is it a literal prostitute? No. The woman whom you perceived is the great city, which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. The great city. What city? Babylon, which will be a future world capital. Well, I don't see how Babylon could possibly. It doesn't matter whether you see it or not. It's going to be very soon the next world capital. As I told you before, Babylon could be underground. Everybody's looking for a big city. Everybody's talking about they're going to rebuild the city of Babylon. Show me the verse where it says that Babylon, the city of Babylon, will be rebuilt. There's not going to be the rebuilding of a city. But at that confluence of the Euphrates and the Tigris rivers in modern-day Iraq, is the ancient site of the city of Babylon. somehow that's going to be the capital of the world. It's going to be an underground vault where all the gold is kept, or where all the secrets are, or where a small gaggle conclave of the world's leaders are going to be. It's going to be Babylon. Yeah, I'm a stupid literalist, that's right. But I don't explain God's explanation. The woman is the great city. Well, I wonder what the great city is. No. No. That is a question asked by people who doubt God's explanation and who they're in their own wisdom and their own fanciful imaginations want to explain God's explanations. Don't do that. God's explanations are and always will be literal.